the deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
I'm Rowdy Roddy Piper, and you're listening to Big Scary Show. Be there.
This is Leonard Pickle with Chicago Frights, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Kevin Cook from Missing Finger Productions, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is Scott Bainey, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Beefcake the Mighty.
And just Mac the Gusher of Guar.
You're listening to the Big Scary Show. Oh, I'm so scared.
Yeah, it's so scary.
This is Dave Schonk with Closed Casket Studios, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is RJ Hattie from Face Off, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is Chris Crum at EvilFireLizard.com, and this is the Big Scary Show.
I'm Adam from Zombie Army Productions, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is Jason Brocke from Voodoo Necropolis, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Job is killing me. Man, I'm just beat and senseless here. But at least now I can relax and listen to the new episode of The Big Scary Show. In this episode, Batcher speaks to the late Rowdy Roddy Piper in a somewhat prophetic interview from last year, and then is beaten senseless from the flatulent gospel of Guar. The unknown scare actor travels to Washington State to track down Bat Squatch in a new edition of Legends and Lore. Robot Murder, Hitchhiking and Vandalism. Is this a new sci-fi channel movie? Nope, it's Storm on a Rant in a Haunt Minute. Special correspondent Eric Meister lurks around the Chicago Fright Fest and draws some interesting interviews in the body bag before being exorcised from the event. Badger talks about the news in Deadline News. Me, the Haunster Mentalist Jerry Vane, cues up some creepy tunes for the show that I'm sure you'll enjoy. All this and so much more, only on the new episode of The Big Scary Show.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at the Scares of Care weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Yeah!
And one of Virginia's favorite sons here, of course. We play their music on the show. I'm talking about the band Guar. I've got Jizmac DeGusha and Beefcake the Mighty. Been a fan of these guys for at least 20-plus years. How are you guys doing here at Scares of Care?
Oh, this is great. There's lots of babies here, lots of children. We're not going to go hungry today.
So yeah. You're lots of sacrifices going on and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This is great.
I'm just going to eat them. I just like to believe in God.
I like to take a time. He's got a great radio voice. He's got a pretty good radio voice. I like that.
Well, thank you.
He's got a great radio face, too.
I have the best face in radio, absolutely. So what's going on with the upcoming Guarbecue in August in Richmond, Virginia? I hear lots of good bands are going to be there.
It's our 30th birthday. It's our 30th birthday. We're throwing the biggest bash that anyone has ever seen. It's a three-day weekend of events. Guarbecue, the main events on Saturday. We got the Guar Bar with Brutal Brunch. We got all kinds of bands at the National on Friday. I mean, if you miss this thing, you basically just missed out on the rest of your life. You should just kill yourself because everyone's going to be talking about it. And if you didn't go...
We didn't kill you, so you should kill yourself.
Yeah.
And that's August 14th, 15th, and 16th.
In Richmond, Virginia.
At the National.
Right.
At Haddad's Water Lake. And
and the Guar Bar.
The Guar Bar.
We had the new bar.
I was going to ask. That's opened up within the last year or so. How's things going?
Yeah, things are going great. Things are going great at the Guar Bar. The food is delicious. We're sacrificing babies and goats every day to make the menu. And I can't tell you how delicious the food is. I don't even know what to say about it other than that if you got to visit the Guar Bar. I mean, it's so small. Only like three people can fit into it. But it is the most delicious food you'll ever have.
Any plans for the upcoming world tour?
Yeah, we got a tour coming out. It's the 30 years of Guar. It's 30 years of fucking torment is what it is. And I think that's the name of it. Is that the name of the tour?
It's 30 years of torment.
Yeah. It's all over the United States and Canada.
Where are you guys going to be kicking that off?
We're kicking that off.
Every place in the Northern America, I believe. Months of shows.
Kicks off August 25th, Pittsburgh.
You got August, September, October, November. You got the time.
You got a big Halloween show coming up someplace out on that tour?
It's a Denver, secret. Right? I don't even know where Halloween is. It's Denver. Okay, it's Denver.
You caught us.
Yeah, you caught us.
We have our sources. So Denver, Colorado for Halloween, that should be absolutely insane.
What you say.
Yeah. We got the Riot Fest coming up. We're playing all three Riot Fests this September, Chicago, Toronto, and Denver. And then we're coming back to Denver for the super special Halloween show. It's gonna be pretty good.
Gay Midget Bowling Fest.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, it's in Poughkeepsie.
Can't wait to go get a ticket and go see that.
All right.
So last year at the Guar Bar, your first show without Dave. Obviously, my condolences
the
to you guys.
I'm
sorry, the Guar
Get your facts straight.
I'm sorry.
If you do an interview with Guar, you get your facts straight.
Sorry. I'll step over here for a second.
Next question.
Blothar comes out and does a bang-up job. He seems to be fitting in rather well. Yes, any problems with him?
He doesn't really fit anywhere. He's so fucking fat.
That's true.
We can't even get him through the club door. He's ridiculously large.
The Guar Bar can hold three people or one Blothar.
I don't even think he can fit in there. He's got these big antlers. But basically, he's just berserked his way onto the Guar stage and taken over the ship. And now he's steering us right into an iceberg.
I call him Captain Fatbeard.
That's true.
Can't go wrong with that. Are you recording with him now or what?
We're going to wait. We're too busy concerned with giving ourselves a bunch of accolades and throwing ourselves a party this year for our 30th year, being awoken from our Antarctic slumbers. And we're not concerned with writing the record right now, but I know we're going to get to that. We just have to get through all this partying first, you know,
he plays the recorder. So the next recording will be of him.
Will be recorded of him
playing
recording.
The recorder.
Yeah. So he's recording the recorder that he's going to be recording
and
with.
And that will be recorded.
Right, that'll be the next Guar album, all recorded.
But we're definitely looking forward to writing some songs and killing some people with Blothar. He's obviously a heavyweight in the metal community, and the next Guar record is going to blow everyone's mind. It's not going to be anything like you've heard from Guar before.
Are you still on Metal Blade Records?
We have done some dealings with Metal Blade Records. They have managed to pacify Guar with huge sacks of cash and goat entrails.
I didn't get paid.
Well, they pay us in fish, so it doesn't really, it's not like...
So you're getting paid to scale, you might say.
Exactly. Yeah. See, he's quick. Not bad for a human being. Yeah. He's quick.
Witty.
Kill me last, I hope.
Oh, yeah. You all have to die. Unless you have a baby. Then you can get... Then you walk out of the convention... The Scares for Cares convention. If you sacrifice your baby to Guar, then we'll let you live and we'll just take the baby.
That's how it works here. Excellent. So for fans who are interested in the Guarbecue coming up in August in Richmond, VA at the National, Haddad's Lake, and the Guar Bar, or if they want to know about the upcoming tour, maybe get tickets and find out everything Guar related, what kind of websites, social medias, and things can they go find you guys?
Guar.net and Guarbecue.com.
That's GWAR, the letters BQ.
Is correct. That, yes.
Correct.
BQ.
Just, it's spelled just like it sounds. I mean, we don't know how to spell or read because we're GWAR, but I was told that GWARBQ is spelled GWARBQ.
Excellent.com,
and that's where you can find out all your ticket information for the weekend's events.
Well, once again, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show. We do play your music on the show with permission.
Really?
And are very
that's
glad
great,
that...
That's a first. That's a first. Thank
you
very much.
We had to ask permission through someone's
Most of my songs
ego.
Are too vile to be played on the radio.
There's one or two that we allow.
Must have been slipped, let a few slip through.
We do what we can. So once again, check out GWAR.net, GWARBQ.com. Go check them out on their upcoming U.S. and Canada tour. And, of course, bring plenty of babies because...
Because
if you're listening to this, you're probably already dead.
You can't go wrong.
We'll barbecue them for you.
There you go. We'll absolutely barbecue your babies for absolutely no charge at all. And you might even get a free ticket to the show. Who knows?
There's so many amazing things happening with GWAR this year. There's so many products that we could push and things that we could do. But right now, we're just going to retire to the bar, and you'll just have to figure it out for yourselves.
There you go. Once again, this is Drew Badger live with GWAR, but maybe not
GWAR!
For long.
Ah!
At the Scares of Care weekend, and I am hopefully not permanently out.
In a world of generic one-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scary.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start off with this news from the Terror Behind the Screen haunted attraction in Kennewick, Washington. At Terror Behind the Screen, we're serious when it comes to scaring people. We want to continuously improve our skills, the quality of our customers' experience, and the state of the haunt industry overall. If you love the art of scaring people in a safe, fun environment, then Terror Behind the Screen may be the place for you. We will soon be filling positions in our cast and crew for this year's attraction to be held at the Benton County Scare Grounds. If you're interested in becoming one of our cast members, please comment on our Facebook page and we will notify you. That page is facebook.com/terrorbehindthescreen. We have this news from Zombie Farms in Winterville, Georgia. So we may not be a typical haunted house or corn maze, but if you're looking for a haunted house or haunted attraction near Athens, Georgia, or anywhere in Northeast Georgia, you don't want to miss Zombie Farms. You get a full half-mile walk through dark and spooky woods filled with zombies and other characters who will scare you, entertain you, and sometimes even make you laugh. 2015 will have a whole new theme that is sure to give you a thrill. And now, we're hiring for the 2015 season. We have a casting call August 22nd and is scheduled to be our last audition, so mark your calendars now and plan to join the horde for 2015. For more information, visit zombiefarms.com or facebook.com/zombiefarmsofathens. I have a little film news from director Kevin Smith. There's been a lot of buzz lately about writer and director Kevin Smith and his upcoming film projects, Yoga Hosers, Moose Jaws, and Clerks 3. However, ZombieApocalypse.net has now learned that Smith has yet another project underway. This time Smith is directing a segment for the new holiday horror film titled Holidays. The film puts a twisted spin on all of our favorite holidays like Christmas, Mother's Day, and Valentine's Day. Smith's segment, titled Camhain, will focus on Halloween. Camhain is a twist on Samhain, or so on as you really should pronounce it. Smith explains, it's all about cam girls working on Halloween night. Smith's longtime partner in crime, Jason Mewes, will star in the segment alongside Harley Morenstein. We will continue to monitor this story and bring you updates as we get them.
We have this news from Sir Henry's Haunted Trail in Plant City, Florida. Do you love to scare people? If you would like to be a scare actor this Halloween season for Sir Henry's Haunted Trail, email Zach at sirhenryshauntedtrail@gmail.com or visit the website sirhenryshauntedtrail.com for more info. Be a part of one of Central Florida's up-and-coming haunted attractions. We have some zombie news from the Enigma Haunt Zombie Prom 2015 in Lake Worth, Florida. Enigma Haunt and Brogues Down Under come together to bring you the first annual Zombie Prom on August 22nd. All zombies welcome, no cover charge, live music, dancing, contests, prizes, gift packages, drink specials, and much more. There'll be a crowning of the king and queen at the end of the night, so be sure to come in costume. Get your zombie makeover for just $10 from one of Enigma Haunt's makeup artists if you can't do it yourself. For more information, visit facebook.com/enigmahaunt. We have even more hiring news from the Haunted Empire Haunted Attraction in Elmira, New York. Are you interested in working at one of the top-rated haunted attractions in upstate New York? Haunted Empire at Bradley Farms is searching for actors for the upcoming 2015 fall season. No experience is necessary. However, we are seeking applicants that are creative, passionate, respectful, and dependable. If you are interested in filling out an application with us this season, apply on our website at hauntedempire.com under the Monsters Wanted tab. Any questions regarding applications, hiring, or returning actors can be sent to josh@hauntedempire.com. All information on the online application must be completed for your application to be considered, and you must be 16 or older to apply. Only a few more weeks till opening weekend. Haunted Empire. Pay to get in, pray to get out. The real fear of the Twin Tiers for 23 years. We have this from the Sacramento, California Zombie Walk. The oldest annual zombie walk in the world returns for more undead fun. Join us as we invade Roosevelt Park in downtown Sacramento for the second annual Carnival of the Dead, then terrorize the R Street corridor with the 15th annual Sacramento Zombie Walk on August 29th, followed by an outdoor screening of the 1968 zombie classic Night of the Living Dead. At 4 p.m., there'll be the Carnival of the Dead, featuring undead makeup, food trucks, vendors, games, live entertainment, and much more, featuring performances from the Moans, plus a zombie bikini contest. At 7:30, the Dead Walk, featuring a thriller flash mob, the West Campus Marching Band, zombie attacks, and more. And finally at 9 p.m., the Night of the Living Dead screening in Roosevelt Park. Bring your lawn chairs and blankets. For more information, go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/Sacramento Zombie Walk. We have yet even more hiring news from the Dead End Hayride in Wyoming, Minnesota. We're hiring for the 2015 Halloween season. To apply, attend one of our hiring open house events that we have listed on our page. Saturday, August 15th from noon to 5. Monday, August 17th from 5 to 8. Saturday, August 22nd from noon to 5. Monday, August 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. And Saturday, August 29th from noon to 5 p.m. We'll be hiring actors, tractor drivers, customer service staff, including ticket sales, parking lot attendants, food service staff, security staff, and more. For more information or to get application info, visit facebook.com/TheDeadEndHayride. We have this from the Haunted Hotel in Beaumont, Texas. According to an article in the Beaumont Enterprise, the Haunted Hotel is returning to downtown Beaumont after being in Nederland for more than a decade. The Halloween attraction will open September 25th at 447 Orlean Street, right next door to its original location at the Rosemont Hotel. For the past 12 years, the Haunted Hotel had been located at Sports Connection on Patio Road. An electrical fire last October caused the haunted attraction to close before Halloween. The fire also forced Haunted Hotel owner Eric Metz to look for a new location. Earlier this year, he purchased the old Serafina F&M building downtown. After numerous meetings, long nights, and a little luck, we were able to buy a building that will allow us to grow and be a force to be reckoned with in the haunted attraction community. Metz said in a Facebook post. Beginning in late September, the Haunted Hotel will be open on weekends only. As it gets closer to Halloween, the Haunted Hotel's doors will be open every day, Metz said. And you can get more information at facebook.com/hauntedhoteltx. And finally, we have this sad news from the world of entertainment. Known for legendary matches with likes of Bret the Hitman Hart and Hulk Hogan, WWE Hall of Famer Rowdy Roddy Piper has passed away at the age of 61 on July 31st. An initial report from TMZ mentions that though Piper battled Hodgkin's lymphoma for several years, he actually died of natural causes at his home in Hollywood. Piper, born Roderick George Toombs, rose to prominence in the 70s and would take on the best of the best in the years to come. Piper was a character, capable of wowing in the ring and behind the scenes, where he regularly hosted the Piper's Pit interview segment. Piper was a continued presence in the professional wrestling circuit until his death, joining the WCW in the 1990s and returning to the WWE in the new millennium. He also found success on the big screen, most notably starring in John Carpenter's They Live. To honor the legacy of Rowdy Roddy Piper, the Big Scary Show is bringing you an exclusive interview with the Rowdy One himself from Days of the Dead in Atlanta from 2014. So stay tuned for that interview. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Calabrese, Ghost Wolves, on the Big Scary Show.
And this is Eric Weister once again with the Big Scary Show. And here I am with Mr. Leonard Pickle, the coordinator of Chicago Frights. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. We're having a fantastic show. Everybody's having a good time.
Okay, what can you tell you what inspired you to do this in the first place?
Well, we've been doing HauntCon for 13 years now, and we kept trying to get it up into Chicago area, but we never could find a hotel that was big enough for that show and that we could afford. So when we planted HauntCon into January, we knew that we were never going to be able to go north with a winter show.
Right.
So we decided to add another show, and Chicago was our first choice. And we didn't even realize it when we started. We used to brag about how the biggest market in the country was Detroit with 60 haunted houses in it. But since we've been here, we've learned that Chicago has over 75. So it's one of the biggest markets in the industry, or in the United States. And that was a selling point that we didn't even realize.
Yeah, this is quite a market for that sort of thing. Are you satisfied with the results so far? Well, this is your maiden voyage, isn't it?
It is. It's the first year, and we're excited about our growing growth potential. We didn't hit our numbers that we would have liked to have hit, but we sold out the trade show, which is unusual for even HauntCon. So, and everyone's excited about it. They're all behind us. We're getting a lot of support. And we're excited about hearing what people have to say. You know, we made some mistakes. We didn't realize that people wouldn't want to jump on the bus and go to the haunt tours. They're locals, most of them, so they're driving. So it didn't make sense for us to have to provide buses for the people that are doing going on the haunt tours. And so we've made some mistakes. Friday was probably a bad idea. Most people work in Chicago, and it's really hard for them to get around, get out of the city. So we're going to tweak those kind of things, and we'll be even better and stronger next year.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to add? What do you see? Better question would be: what do you see as the future of the convention? What are you looking to do in 2016?
It's just going to grow. We're looking for a bigger hotel because we've already kind of outgrown this one, which we knew we would, and we're excited about the potential. We've gotten the support of the community, and we've pulled in a lot of people that have been volunteering time and even throwing some money at this thing to make it happen. And everyone's excited for us to be here, and we're looking forward to the future.
Yeah, it seems like an excellent turnout. Any final thoughts, Leonard?
We just hope everyone comes out to see us in 2016, Chicago Frights, and stay tuned to the Big Scary Show so we can announce our dates and location.
And thank you very much, sir. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is. Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.
And this is Eric Weister here once again at the Chicago Frights Convention, and I am here with
Vince
and Mike
of Master Fog. How are you guys doing?
We're great. How are you?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. We got a long history, don't we?
We do have a long history. Yes, we do.
Well, we just met, but
he and I have a long history.
I'm happy to hop in on this long history.
Oh, boy. This just sounds so loaded. It's not funny. So how are you guys doing? You enjoying the first time here?
We're enjoying it. Couple sales yesterday, and we're excited about today.
Looks great. It looks good. I mean, it's a starting convention, but it looks good.
Yeah,
it's,
sure.
It's got some potential. I mean, you've got decent people coming in and putting out solid products, so that definitely helps rope people in and bring them in and make it bigger.
Well, as ever, now here's your chance. Tell people what's new and exciting in Master Fog's world.
Well, we're still cranking out the same fog fluid as we have been, which is always killer, as you and everybody else should know. Code 6 Platinum is going to be our best one, but we're also...
We got some new machines this year.
I was going to say, I didn't know if we were going to get into
that. At this show, we're
We're debuting some of our more affordable units for the Home Haunter type price range. You know, good machines that'll last you, you know, a long time when you're taking care of them. But, you know, it's not... A lot of people like to buy their machines from Spirit, and you know, we're trying to go a step ahead and getting people using proper equipment.
We actually, my wife and I bought one from you last year. We had marvelous results. I can't praise you guys enough. We good. Really like what it did. Smoked out our annoying neighbors too.
There you go.
It's a good way.
Oh, exactly. They're upstairs with it. Long story short, they had a dog they would never walk, so we were sitting on the patio one day and the dog peed on us. Okay, our turn. They had their windows open, full blast. Eat that.
And if you get that platinum, it hangs around for 3 hours.
There you go. There you go. So, wrap this up. Website and what's new, and you guys go ahead.
Cool. Masterfog.com.
You can reach us at 877-578-6577. We do have extended hours during the month of October for all your foggy needs. And give us a call.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so, what do we gotta talk about this week? We gotta talk about robot murder. That's right. Not sure if you're following in the news, there's this international robot called Hitchbot. Now, exactly, it was sort of like one of those digipets you had when you were young, you know, the ones which, like, made a face and take care of it, and it, like, did things. Except this one would, like, talk to you, and it was trying to get from, you know, the East Coast, starting in Massachusetts, across the country to San Francisco. Now, it worked in other countries. It traveled across, like, Norway and Germany or something. So, you know, they gave it a try here in the United States. And, you know, it did fairly well in New England. And as a matter of fact, I saw it a couple weeks ago. It was hanging out about a block from where I'm recording right now. That's why I'm just hanging out here. And I'm like, okay, that's something different, and it's pretty neat. And I take a picture with it. And then it made its way down the East Coast to Philadelphia, where it was murdered. Now, frankly, you know, if you thought that we're going to put together hitchhiking, a robot, and, you know, 20th century, you know, to us, you know, especially being horror fans, you'd think that whatever final result would be would probably result in a murderous hitchhiking robot and, you know, half-naked co-ed bodies all over the place. Now, that's the type of thing we think's going to happen, the exact opposite. Now, you know, I'm not one always to trust technology and robots and things, but, somebody left it in an alley in Philadelphia at 1 in the morning. Growing up around Philadelphia, I can tell you that's a bad idea for anything, let alone a, whimsical hitchhiking robot. They still haven't found the head. It got trashed. And how is this important to us as haunters and what we do and everything? It's actually very important. You gotta jump on the bandwagon and really, you know, be on the side of this robot and its creators, and it's, you know, these types of things can't happen. Why? Because the a-holes who murdered the robot are the same ones who go through your haunt, steal your props, and destroy things. Yes, these are ones who see, hey, look, there's something weird I don't understand. Let's smash it. We've all dealt with them. They've gone through our haunts and just start punching things. We don't know why, because they're a-holes. We gotta expose these people as, you know, the a-hole fringe and not the norm. So, jump on a bag when, on, you know, the murdered Hitchbot. If you think about it, too, if you're 10-year-old, this thing would have been the coolest damn thing you ever had. You could actually ask it questions and stuff. And the experiment murdered in Philadelphia. So, while we, you know, might want to jump on a wagon and murderous robots and taking revenge, hey, neat thing with haunts, but, get across for a minute. You know, get out there and talk about the Hitchbot, because these a-holes, they're getting ready to break your stuff at your haunt this October. and we don't want that. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
And this is Eric Weister once again with the Big Scary Show, and I am here with Kevin of Missing Finger Productions. How you doing, Kevin?
Good, how are you?
Enjoying the show?
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think I like doing the trade shows a little for the haunted industry a little more than the trade shows we've been doing down in Florida for like comic books and zombies and stuff like that.
Right. So what can you tell you about tell us about Missing Finger Productions?
Well, we're based out of Orlando. I'm the main proprietor of everything. My wife helps me paint it. But we start from start to finish. Everything's in my garage right down in Florida. So we make skulls, plaques, masks, latex. We're soon to venture into the silicone mask world. That way we have a little more of an option. Our price point, we try to keep it as low as possible because we don't have any overhead. So that's nice for the consumer.
Right.
So, I mean, we're ranging from items that are $6 going up to about $200.
Yeah, some of your stuff is very, very good. Really
caught
my eye. Well, for the sake of our listeners, here's your chance to know what's your website and how do you reach you?
The easiest thing to get in touch with me is if you go on Facebook and you just search for Missing Finger Productions, I pop right up. But our website, or I mean our email is missingfingerproductions@yahoo.com if you have a personal question, because we do custom work for people all the time. Any of our products, we can customize to whatever color, whatever shade, whatever stain. And we're consistently impressed with people's ideas, so then we got to figure out a way to make it happen. So, and soon we'll be able to enlarge and shrink all of the products as well within the next 2 months.
Well, judging from what I'm seeing here, you've got a long future ahead of you guys.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course, that music that you're hearing in the background signifies one thing and one thing only. It's time, of course, for the Round Table of Terror. And you know, every professional organization out there seems to have a professional association attached to it. You know, haunting is an industry, therefore, there is a professional organization attached to the haunt industry. It is the Haunted Attractions the Haunted Attraction Association. It's gone through some changes over the last few years. Some people think it's great. Some people don't think it's great. Some people are like, I didn't know we had an association. Well, we absolutely do, and we have the president of the HAA on the line, John Eslich. Please tell me I didn't butcher that too bad. The owner of the Factory of Terror in Canton, Ohio. John, are you with us?
Hey, good evening. Yes, I am here with you, and it's Eslich.
Eslich, I am so sorry about that. I forgive me, I'm terrible with names. As well as our regular hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from Poolside, where I butchered some pork tonight, nice roast, instead of our guest name.
Oh, thank you. The Unknown Scare Actor.
Greetings from Cincinnati, and I'm getting ready to butcher Yeti the Chihuahua.
Cool. Kebab him. The Hauntstrom medalist Jerry Vane, way out in Vegas.
I'm butchering a bottle of Not Your Father's Root Beer.
My name is Drew Badger. I've currently got cherry tomatoes simmering in olive oil. I'm going to butcher a mess of those things tomorrow. But tonight we're talking the Haunted Attractions Haunted Attraction Association with John Eslich. John, I'll ask the first question. Basically, for the benefit of people who have never heard of this, what is the HAA?
Well, the HAA stands for Haunted Attraction Association,
and you kind of went through the details there. And what it is, it's a professional organization. It's a nonprofit, and it comprises of 13 board members. Currently, we have 12 board members that are currently elected in that capacity. We have one open seat, but the board members are typically haunt owners or haunt operators. You know, there has been some change in the past where they had I don't say actor level, but you know, some non-owners that were on the board, and they felt that wasn't appropriate. So we're strictly, you know, our board and the direction, you know, we fill those seats with haunt owners. So we have board members from all across the country, and even over the world too. We actually had some board members from outside the country. I mean, currently we don't have anybody from outside the country, but we have a nice representation anywhere from, you know, East Coast, West Coast, a little lacking down to Texas. We'd like to get some board members out of Texas area. There's a lot of good haunts down there. So it basically comprises of, we have a board and we meet every month, and we discuss the business of the Haunted Attraction Association. And we could talk more about what we do. I don't know if you want me to talk about it now, or if you want to ask me specific questions about that, or I mean, our main focus is to promote haunted attractions all across the country, all across the world. We want to promote that through our PR program. Our other main goal is to protect the industry, which basically it says protect, but you know, we value what we do. In other words, haunted attractions, we tell the people haunted attractions are a very important part of entertainment. And so our message is like, listen, this is good entertainment, and you need to get out there and you need to visit a haunted attraction. I don't care what state you're in. Get out there. Have some fun. This is a good form of entertainment. So whenever there's any negative stories and things like that come out, we want to be on that stuff and say, listen, no, this is not typical. You know, this, you know, we want to attack these negative stories. So we kind of watch out on the pulse of the industry and help protect, you know, we're a good, solid, safe industry. And the last component is education, which we do a number of ways, but a lot of it's based on safety, how to open a haunt, how to properly run a safe attraction. And we do a chaos seminar at Transworld, and we can get into some of these things. But, you know, one of the things I've noticed is haunters generally get into haunted attractions through the love of haunting. Which is great, because theatrically and artistically, it's awesome. They do a phenomenal job. But a lot of times they lack in, like, the business side, or maybe some of the safety side, some of the knowledge that many of us take for granted now, electrical knowledge. So we want people to, one, put on good attractions, but also we want to make sure they're safe and they up the code, because that goes back to protecting the industry. Safe, good attractions promote themselves, and they make it a good industry. We start having some incidences like, there's a fire, for example, which is the worst. But even injuries, simple things, it does affect us all. So we're really in there, and what really got my attention is we need to help educate everybody to have a safe attraction as best to their knowledge, because in general, you know, we need to keep our insurance rates low. We need to keep the image positive. So we want to keep a positive image of the industry. So that's kind of like in a nutshell. I didn't mean to drag on too long. So
would you say that, you know, one of the goals is to kind of create quote unquote industry standards for haunted attractions in general? Like, I know the chaos safety seminar, you know, you can say, hey, we're chaos certified and all that, but is that pretty much the goal there, it sounds like?
Well, one of the problems that there is out there is selective enforcement. Every location from, you know, big city to small farmland. I mean, there's such a disarray of interpretation of the rules. And, you know, we'd like to get some type of standard type of rule that, you know, basically follows the International Fire Code. And that's not new knowledge. It's, you know, some people might be new to them, but, you know, it's an old standard that applies to indoor haunted attractions. And we want, one, educate people with this so they basically have their attraction in compliance with this thing. And it promotes the safety of that, and having
consistent, I guess, rule book, I guess, or consistent platform that, you know, or standard that haunts need to meet, in the long run, protects us all.
Makes sense.
You know, the chaos you bring up, that chaos is an industry-specific training, and it was developed, I don't know, at least 10 years ago. It's an awesome program. It really highlights, you know, some of the hazards that most people might not think about, and it really opens, it's a real eye-opener. If anybody hasn't done the chaos, they really need to do it. Everybody thinks, you know, hey, you never think of the bad. How about that? Everybody thinks of the positive. So you got to be aware of, you know, hey, something could go wrong. And once you go through the chaos, you'll see, like, wow, man, I never thought that could happen. And then if we could prevent a couple of injuries, then we did our job.
Absolutely. Is chaos recognized by, say, fire marshals and local fire, or on a national scale? If a fire marshal says, okay, you're chaos certified, or you've gone through that, then you don't have to do this, or does that just basically jurisdiction by jurisdiction?
Well, like I said, local enforcement, you know, they're somewhat selective of how they enforce different rules, which I think everybody should interpret and enforce rules equally. Just because I went through chaos and said, you know, I had the safety training, doesn't really give me the right to, like, not follow the code. I'm sure it has an impact when you're dealing with your fire marshals and your building departments, that gives them a confidence that, you know, you have some background, you have some training that is unique to our industry. So it has an impact with, you know, the local people, but it's not going to change the rule books, you know, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And one of the things we want to do, that we've got the ball rolling, is we want to combine this chaos training as this industry-specific training, but we want to combine that with an OSHA, like an OSHA 10 course. The reason being is OSHA, you know, is recognized worldwide, especially here in the States. So it's kind of, you know, OSHA standard. That's a widely recognized standards versus chaos. Chaos is very specific to what the haunters do. But having an OSHA like 10 certification or OSHA 30 certification, that would carry a lot more weight with certain safety professionals throughout the country. And chaos is like a subset of that. So one of our goals is to upgrade our training to get like an OSHA level certification, which I'm very excited about, and it's very powerful.
Well, John, let me ask you this question. I mean, there's a lot of home haunters in this country. From the East Coast to the West Coast, would they be able to benefit from joining the HAA?
Oh, absolutely. We all start in business. It's something that we love. You know, we all start, you know, from the ground zero. And how you learn about things is through networking. And it's huge. And I mean, it's huge in all industries, and probably even more important in the haunt industry. The one immediate benefit they get is, you know, they get to connect with individuals on the board, people like myself, people that have 15 plus years of experience. You know, a lot of people just can't make that connection. They would not, you know, they're intimidated. They don't get a chance to, you know, if I'm a new haunter, let's say I'm in year one or year two, I mean, I would never go up to someone that's got a well-established haunt that's been in business 15 years. I'd be scared to death. But if you join the association, now you kind of like, okay, now you have board members with this vast experience that now you can go and talk to and ask them stuff specific about, you know, your situation and how would you approach this and, you know, what worked for you. And so that's, you know, that's invaluable.
So for the home haunters, there's that invaluable resource to learn and get more information and help grow their haunt.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, hey, you face it, homeowners eventually are going to open up a commercial haunt. Most of them, that's kind of their the next step. But it's a big transition. It's easier said than done. So you just don't do that without talking to people. And what better way, and, you know, to meet people that have done it is, you know, with the association.
What about, shall we say, non-haunters joining the association, whether you're like a prop builder or an actor at a haunt? You don't own the haunt, but you work at it, and maybe you're a manager, maybe you've been there 5-10 years, but don't really dream of owning a haunt. Is there a benefit for just haunters in general to be a member?
Well, I mean, in general, if I was an actor and I like this stuff, I'd get a membership, because now I don't say I'm part of the club, but I would join because, one, obviously I love the industry. If I'm an actor or enthusiast, I love the industry. I feel that I can go to these events as a member and meet up with all these people and have great conversations with. So absolutely. I mean, you might not get a direct benefit of, I mean, most of the benefits are indirect.
We're going to take a really quick break just a second to pay some bills. We're talking about the HAA, the Haunted Attraction Association, with John Eslich from Canton, Ohio, who is the president of the HAA. We're going to pay some bills with this little quick message, and we'll be right back.
Good evening. I have been instructed to speak on the behalf of Necrotic Creations. Master and Lady Necrotic have been feverishly working in their lab, creating the most unusual and, I guess, make Halloween props that are not only perfect for any home or pro haunt, but fit for a mausoleum. I mean, museum. Isn't it time you decorate with props that are top quality, durable, and affordable from a company that offers excellent customer service and fast delivery? Remember, your haunted home is a fright without these amazing touches of the macabre to delight your guests each Halloween. Visit them at necroticcreations.com. They are dying to bring all your wicked desires to life. Happy haunting.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show, talking about the Haunted Attraction Association. That acronym is going to kill me for some reason, with John Eslich, president of the HAA. And, Jerry, you said you had a question.
Yeah, I got a question. You know, you're talking about, you know, haunts and everything being part of HAA. What about vendors? Is there a specific criteria for vendors to be part of the HAA, or, you know, whether it's a small vendor, large vendor?
Yes, we do have vendors, and they're a very big part of the association. And you're right, there are two classifications. We have the large haunted attraction vendor, and we have the small haunted attraction. Every year at Transworld, I'm assuming you guys have all been to Transworld.
Yes.
At least know what I'm talking about.
A couple of us have.
Yeah, but we have our annual auction, and that is very important for a number of reasons. For the vendors, okay, they basically, it's a chance for them to spotlight in a live auction atmosphere, display their products. You know, they're basically up there being talked about and being bid on their donation. And they give a donation for that, and they get a free membership as part of that donation. And those funds that we raise from that annual auction, they are used for our PR program, our PR campaign, our national PR campaign, which is a big part of what we do as well. When we talked initially about promoting haunted attractions, that's mostly where our funding comes from that. But we also work with the vendors. We recognize them in different ways. One way is our Oscars banquet, which we host that at Transworld. Which we recognize basically some of the outstanding vendors. We also have like a best new product category. So they have some recognition that the vendors can, boast about once they receive these awards. And, you know, and it's about sales too. So, you know, you know, vendors always need to say, hey, listen, I'm a good vendor. Look, I won this award. I'm recognized by the association. So buyers look at that stuff and be like, okay, hey, you know, I think I'm going to buy from this guy because, you know, they're very supportive of what we do and their quality because they won awards. So, you know, it's good. And we also, if they have promotions, we will send out promotions for them. One of the ways we do that is in our newsletter. So we'll send out a newsletter, and we always have like a spotlight, and we'll spotlight some haunts. But I guess from the vendor side, which is what we're talking about, is we'll spotlight a vendor or two and send it out to all the membership saying, hey, you know, XYZ company, they sell, you know, this product and they're a member, and give a little bit about them and get a link to the website and, you know, give them some more exposure. So, you know, those are some of the things that we do. I think that's about answers the question, I think.
When you were mentioning the Oscars, there's a rumor going around that Tater actually took home one this year. Is that true?
Yeah, the Oscars, I mean, it's a great event. So if anyone listening hasn't had a chance to go to the Oscars, about 2 years ago, I think it was, maybe three, okay, we stopped charging for the Oscars. I mean, historically, it was a sit-down dinner, a paid event, fairly formal, very nice event. I mean, I went to the number time. But we went ahead and decided to do it for free. Just, hey, you know, we had the funding, and we worked with Transworld and was able to do it for free. So it's a nice event. You come down, have some dinner. But anyhow, back to your question. One of the awards is called the President's Award. So since I'm the president, I get to pick that person. And Scott Tater, which we all know.
Special correspondent for the show. Sorry, yep, super special correspondent.
Yeah. Now, he's not a vendor. I mean, he works for a vendor, but he's not a, you know, a haunt or anything like that.
He's kind of his own category.
Yeah, he is. But now think about that. The reason I gave him that award is he's been very instrumental in the haunt industry in the respect that, you know, from the haunting, he's brought a lot of awareness. Not only that, he's raised a lot of money for the association. I mean, every year, you know, he would donate his skill to the association and put up for the auction. And, you know, he never asked for anything in return. He did it just because he loves haunting. If you know Tater, you know, he loves what he does. So every year, you know, he would go ahead and volunteer and donate his time. So just from his service and his dedication, I mean, he was a natural pick for me. And so I love the guy, and he's done a wonderful job. And, yep, that's right. He did get an Oscars.
and well-deserving as such. You mentioned Transworld here. Is this where the bulk of HAA business is conducted?
Yeah, Transworld has really become the, you know, the location where, I guess if you have an organization, you have an annual meeting, so to say, that would be where it happens at Transworld, because that's where we reach the majority of our membership. Most haunt owners, you know, if they're going to pick like one trade show to go to, it's the Transworld trade show. So it really makes sense for us to have, you know, these events like the Oscars, the auction, and the presence there to you know, support the individuals that we may not see on a regular basis. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. That's where it's got to happen.
Oh, sure.
John, the you know, the different associations prior to HAA, and you know, the HAA growing and changing its direction, and you know, where it's finding its footing over the past couple of years, you know, it's fluid, as is the haunted attractions industry. What have been some of the positive changes and sort of things which, you know, if somebody's been part of an association or industry in the past, they might want to give you more of a try? And things that have been improved on?
You know, I haven't been involved with the association, say, like 12 years ago. I joined maybe 10 years ago. So I don't have a lot of the history of how it operated, so to say.
Yeah, not necessarily going into history, but the type of direction that, you know, HAA is going into and how it's keeping up with the fluidity of our industry.
Well, it kind of goes back to earlier when I was talking about The board members are all basically haunt operators and owners. I believe back in, was IAHA, the International Association of Haunted Attractions, anybody that joined the association could become a board member and help out and do things. And then, there was a group of people that thought, we need to have, owners, really run the direction of the association. So that's when it creeped up. The other association, showed up. And quite frankly, our industry, it doesn't need two associations. And the people that were involved at that time realized that. And so they went through a merger and they combined. I guess they took, pieces and parts of both associations and ended up with the Haunted Attraction Association. So I think it's good. You have a professional organization ran by professional haunters, but it's also open to all levels, enthusiasts, home haunters, and everybody's welcome. And, we don't try to isolate anybody. So I don't want anybody to feel isolated. They, if they join in, they give me a call, I'll talk to them. We want to focus more on the training. We talk about the OSHA stuff and, in the natural progression of things, the board members, if they have changed, we have term limits, so to say. So as association, as time goes on, you get, I guess, fresh blood or new faces, So it's good for the natural evolution of an association, I'll be president for a few years and then someone else will take it over. And that's fine, but I always will support an association because I firmly believe any industry, especially our industry, we got to have an association. And if you don't, if you aren't a member, you got to sign up because we need one.
That's a great segue into this question. How does one become a member of the HAA?
Well, very simple. Just go to the website. It's the Haunted Attraction Association.com, and there'll be a link on there to join. You just sign up through the link. If you have any problems, you can always email at info@hauntedattractionassociation.com, and we will sort out any problems. It's very simple.
Okay. One final question. Since you do most of your business at Transworld, are there plans on having HAA events at other conventions, maybe Midwest or, HauntCon or something like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I guess I didn't mean to say that's the only place we go. I mean, personally, I was at, HauntCon this year. I went to Halloween Extreme this year, Transworld, Midwest. I've been about all of them except for Chicago Frights. We have a presence basically at each one, and we will continue to do that. Absolutely.
Has there ever been an attempt to are there membership drives at these other conventions? So, if I just walk in and all of a sudden there's a booth for the HAA, which frankly I've never seen one at any place outside of Transworld. Can't somebody just sign up and do that?
Well, we had a booth at Midwest Haunters. Every year we have one at Midwest Haunters. HauntCon, this last year we did not have a booth, but we worked with Leonard and we had flyers and things put up. And then a lot of it was one-on-one where I did a lot of networking and talking to people. When I go to the HauntCon, I want to socialize with members or potential members. I don't really want to sit behind a desk or sit behind a booth, so I kind of want to get out and talk to people.
Sure.
That was the approach that we took at that time. But we definitely going to have maintain a presence at all the shows.
Okay.
But it takes personnel too. I need all the board members, and it's a lot. It takes a lot to have a presence at all the shows. So we have to figure out the logistics of that.
Well, absolutely. Well, John, I'm looking at the clock here, and it looks like we need to start winding down here. One quick question. What's new at the Factory of Terror in Canton, Ohio this year?
Oh, the factory. Every year I tell myself, okay, I'm going to have an easy year. I'm going to take my time. But, this year is probably a bigger build than I've ever done. We've went ahead and changed out probably about a third of the haunt. We actually made up of five haunts inside the factory. So about two of the shows, I've changed out probably a third of the haunt. So we did quite an extensive area. I mean, the biggest thing you're going to see when you come to the factory, you're going to see a brand new facade, kind of for the wow factor. And you're going to see some new escape rooms that I'm working on, and some new photo ops and things like that. So the diehard Factory of Terror fans will notice the changes inside the haunt. The scaredy cats that run through with their eyes closed may not notice as many changes, but we're excited. I mean, we're working day and night practically, we're just having a great time. And you know, it's next month. You know, haunts open next month.
That is true.
Hey,
can't argue with that.
All right. So the membership drive, I didn't touch on this, though. We do a national PR program, and if haunters, you know, want to be part of that, what happens is, and we raise this money at Transworld through the auction, but what happens is we have a PR firm, okay, and we'll get requests about, could be like, hey, we want to talk to somebody in Arizona, and they'll call us. So what we'll do is look like, okay, well, here's a couple members that have haunted attractions in Arizona. You know, you go ahead and contact these people. So if people want to, you know, get involved, they need to join. They need to submit their information. So our PR firm has it on file. So when they get questions, that they can actually, you know, use their information and promote that specific attraction. We typically try not to promote, you know, we're not focused on promoting like one attraction over another. And it depends on how the nature of the story is. We try to promote the industry in general. A lot of times they want an example. Okay, that sounds great. Can I talk to somebody that's local? Like, okay, hey, call this guy in Cincinnati, you know, and then, you know, talk to him. So it gives a nice personal touch to the story. But so it's not too late to get, you know, join up and get a part of the PR program. And the smaller, the newer haunts that may not have a lot of experience with PR and things, one thing they can do, let's say, for example, you have a haunt that's in your third year, and you're like, man, I need to do a press release. Well, what you can do is you can send us the press release. Go ahead and write it. Write up your press release, send it to us, and then what we'll do is we'll turn around and we'll send it to your local media, but it's coming from us. It's not coming from you. You know, media is funny. They don't want to, like, oh, you're just promoting yourself. Like, no, if we send it on your behalf, they think it's coming from me and not, you know, from you. So it has a bigger impact. So definitely take advantage of stuff like that.
Excellent. Well, John, again, it's been a pleasure to have you on here as president of the HAA for now. I do want to give you a chance to get those websites out one more time for information on the Haunted Attraction Association. If you're interested in joining with the new membership drive they've got going, or just to get general information, what is that website again?
www.hauntedattractionassociation.com.
Well, thank you again, John. And, of course, thank you to our hosts for participating in this, including Storm.
The silent S Badger keeps adding is safety. Keep that in mind.
It is all about safety. You know that. The Unknown Scare Actor.
Well, you know, I was a member of the HAA last year, and you know what? It's worthwhile.
The Haunster Medalist, Jerry Vane.
I'm actually considering joining.
My name is Drew Badger. Up in Charlotte, remember, support your local haunts, support the association, support everything haunted attraction industry.
And support us.
Yeah, and support us. Once again, this is the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show, and we'll be right back.
No, we won't. I know that. Just pivot.
Let us slay on The Big Scary Show.
Let them slay. 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 Let them slay.
sacrifice. We don't have to hide our genocide. They'll fear us more when they know that we don't lie. It's gonna be our hatred this time. You learn death, you die in a crime. I choose the dagger, the demon of guts. I'll burn it until at this time.
The most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com for all your gore and more.
And this is Eric Weisser once again with the Big Scary Show. Here we are at Chicago Frights, and I'm here with Scott Barney of Scared City Hauntiques. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good.
So what can you tell us about your fine products here?
Well, we've actually been doing this for about two years now. We started buying antiques to sell to other haunted houses. We call them Hauntiques. So it allows them to put real-world props in their haunt, and then we started also creating our own props, legs, safe hammers, and hatchets for the haunted house actors, so they don't hurt anybody. Safety first. I mean, you got to have. They can be scared, but it's got to be safe.
Exactly. So can. Tell everyone how to get a hold of you guys and your website and whatnot.
You can get a hold of us at on Facebook, either at Scared City Haunted House or Hauntiques on Facebook. And then you can call 870-219-0810 and ask for Scott.
Okay. Convention treating you very well?
That's pretty good so far.
Yeah, for a main voyage, it's busy.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, thank you for your time.
All right, thank you.
Where do some phobias come from? Is it fear of the known or fear of the unknown? Some fears are passed down from generation to generation, based on nothing but legends and lore. Brought to you by Dark Specter.
custom couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Okay, Haunters. As haunt season rapidly approaches, I'm going to go really way out on a limb here, and you're not going to believe the cryptid I found this time around. And you know what? I've been trying to start in Ohio and move my way around. Well, I'm going to kind of bounce out and back because, believe it or not, I was looking for something really different, and I think this has got to be the most unusual cryptid, legend, lore, whatever you want to call it, that I have ever found. And it is called the Bat Squatch. Yes, you heard that right, Bat Squatch. Its name, as just as it sounds, is derived from the words bat and Sasquatch. And it is a flying cryptid that has been allegedly sighted near Mount St. Helens in Washington State. It resembles a flying primate similar to the Ahul and the Orang Bati of Southeast Asia, and its name is derived, of course, like I said earlier, from the words bat and Sasquatch. A witness took several pictures of this creature. However, these pictures have not yet been analyzed and thus cannot prove the creature's existence. The creature was said to have a yellow eyes, a wolf-like muzzle, blue fur, sharp teeth, bird-like feet, and leathery bat-like wings. In addition, Bat Squatch is said to be about 9 feet tall and has the ability to affect car engines. This is possibly a misunderstood sighting of Mothman, considering it also affected man-made things, like Mothman can. On April 1994, Brian Canfield was driving in Washington's Pierce County when his truck suddenly died. Canfield said a large creature landed in front of him. He said it was human-like, 9 feet tall, and had bat-like wings, and it also sported a coat of blue fur. Ever since then, it has not been seen, and skeptics dismiss it as a hoax. On June 2011, Phoenix Tierrez, not a real name, was in his yard walking his dog. He went to pick up the dog when he saw something in the sky. He said the following, and I quote, "I saw something flying in the sky. It had bat wings, blue fur, and had a face similar to eyes glowing red. It was about 9 feet tall at the least. After I watched it, it just flew away." This is the second sighting. Now here's where it gets a little bit weird. On April 14th, 2014, not that long ago, it was sighted in the Akron, Ohio area, of all places. Okay. Why is it from Washington State and now in Akron? Well, your guess is as good as mine, but it says here that Archbishop Hoban High School in Akron, Ohio, a second period Spanish class spotted a giant black mass zip by the window of the classroom at incredible speed. The class claims it was about 9 feet tall with a 20 to 30 foot wingspan. This is the third sighting. Akron, probably the Mothman. But hey, you know what? We'll give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Bat Squatch is believed to be true by some people. I'm looking at some alleged photos. I've seen an ice sculpture and a mountain climber claiming what could be an entrance to its lair. And let's see here. We've got a Bat Squatch encounter. Back in 1998, up in the Douglas firs of Mount St. Helens. You know what? Oh, this one's going to be a tough one to swallow, but hey, until we can prove or disprove it, let's hear it for Bat Squatch. Do 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 Bat Squatch. Anyway, you know the rest.
And remember one thing, Haunters. Most legend has a basis in fact.
Hey,
And this is Eric Weissler with the Big Scary Show here once again at Chicago Frights. And I'm here with Adam G. of Zombie Army Productions. How are you doing today, Adam?
I'm doing fantastic. So how are you?
Can't complain. And if I did, nobody listened, so I just shut up.
There you go. I do the same. So
there you go. So what's new with Zombie Army Productions?
Not much. We came to this convention, brought some merch to sell, some hoodies, some shirts, some DVDs of Mole Man on Belmont Avenue. We're also trying to promote our web series, Days of Living Dead.
I've watched it. It's good.
Oh, it's, you know, we love doing it. So we get our name out there and we get our product out there, which is great, which is exactly what our boss, John LaFlamboy, likes to do. We're also trying to bring in new hires for our haunted houses, our Statesville Haunted Prison down in Joliet, and then our new haunt coming up this year called Hell's Gate.
Ooh.
So we're pretty excited about
right?
it. Correct. Just the town over.
Okay, well, because we're going to be hit up here in early October, so we're coming to check you guys out.
Oh, we look forward to seeing you guys coming out.
Okay, so for everybody at home, what can you tell? How do they reach you, and how do they access your fine products?
Our website is zap23.com, and you could also check out our haunt, Statesville, at statesvillehauntedprison.com. Just go on the websites. Merch is on the Zap website. Information about our haunt is on Statesville Haunted Prison.
By the way, I did a review of you guys at Statesville Haunted Prison a couple of years ago. I gave you 5 stars.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We appreciate all the positive feedback.
Yeah, we're going to be I'm going to be doing in October a top 5 recommendations for best ones for 2015. You're in it.
Oh, fantastic. We appreciate that.
Well, it's not sequential. It's just 5 haunts. Not 1 through 5, just 5. Like, everybody starts jumping. What did you give me in? Go away.
Hey, but we broke through. It's crazy.
Exactly. There you go. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Creepazoids, Dead by Dawn, on the Big Scary Show.
Gonna make this rough on me. There you go.
Stop it!
This is Eric Weissler with the Big Scary Show. Here I am at Chicago Frights. I'm with Chris Crum of Evil Fire Lizard Productions. How you doing today, Chris?
Fantastic. Glad to be here.
Enjoying the convention?
It's fantastic. It's the best one I've been at so far.
Excellent. So what can you tell us about your fine products here?
Well, what we are is we're a reseller for various other companies here. Graftobian, WolfFX, EBA. What we do is we buy at our wholesale prices, and then we provide it to the community at a reduced rate. So we don't sell anything at MSRP.
Excellent. What does the future hold for your company?
We're just going to continue to add products and grow and eventually become the multiple shopping center for all products.
You have some very high-end, excellent merchandise here.
Yep, absolutely.
So for all of our listeners out there and for all who want to get their hands on your booty, let us know how we can reach you and website and all.
Just go out to evilfirelizard.com and you'll see everything you need to see out there.
All right, and thank you very much, Chris.
Stay fabulous.
That will drop.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
This is Eric Weister with A Big Scary Show, and here we are at Chicago Frights, and here I am with R.J. Hattie of Face Off fame. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. So what? How are you enjoying the convention today?
It's very, very nice. Everybody here is very nice and very personable, and it's small, and it's low-key, and it's not really that hectic, which makes it really nice.
Oh, I'm certain, especially with your schedule. So yeah. What's new in the world of R.J. Hattie lately?
Well, I'm working towards getting my film, The Family Business, fully funded, and Drew and Jim and those guys have been really cool about helping me plug it. And it's just, you know, facebook.com/thefamilybusinessfilm. And we're making some headway with that, so I'm pretty excited about that. And I have another couple of conventions coming up. Next weekend we're going to be at Scares That Care in Virginia, and then after that I have a couple of things in the fire, but right now we're going to definitely be over at Dragon Con towards Labor Day weekend.
Excellent. Those are always fantastic.
Yeah, it's an awesome convention. If you haven't been to Dragon Con, you got to do that on your bucket list.
You got that right.
Yeah.
You got that. So anything, finally, to wrap things up here, any websites or anything you'd like to let the people know about?
Yeah, just check us out, like I said, facebook.com/thefamilybusinessfilm. And if you want, you can always find me at rjhattie.com or radfxco.com.
Okay, RJ Hattie of Face Off Fame, thank you very much.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here live in Atlanta. Days of the Dead, talking with all the cool celebrities, all the big names, all the heavyweights. They don't get much bigger than this one. Heavyweight, many times over, champion, world champion, U.S. champion. I'm talking, of course, about the rowdy one all the way from somewhere in Scotland. Wink, whoa. Wink. Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper, how are
thank
you, sir?
You. I'm doing great. I'm great. You know, I actually was in Glasgow, and that's where they've always billed me from in Scotland. And if it hadn't been for the people in Glasgow, when I had cancer, I wouldn't have known it. They got me to a hospital, just to make the story short. And of all places, Glasgow, Scotland, where when I was a little kid, I was there for like 6 months. I was born in Saskatoon. I don't remember much of it, you know, but it saved my life, so it's kind of cool.
So you're one of those Canadian Scottish folks we hear about.
Yeah, like dad was from Belfast, mom was from Glasgow. Dad was from Glasgow, mom was from Belfast. You know, and it gets, there's the orange and the green over there, two different religions, and they come over to a lot of people in Canada. It gets very difficult. I wasn't allowed to marry, or not marry, I wasn't allowed to date a French or Catholic girl. So the first girl I dated was a French Catholic girl named Lorraine Albertine Gauthier, and she was in the Miss Canada pageant.
That's about as French a name as you can get.
Yeah, it is, man. You know, it comes with a cross.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how's Days of the Dead been treating you? I've noticed that you're starting to make more and more appearances at cons like this.
You know, that's a good point. This is, I don't know if I'll do many more at all. I'm going a whole different direction. You know, I got all my kids raised. My youngest is in college. So sometimes these are fun. The guy Bill Philpott here is my buddy. You know, we can get across and see what's going on. I'm going to do WrestleMania this year. I'm telling me they're putting me in the Hall of Fame again. I don't know. Rumors.
Do you prefer to do shows like this, or do you like doing like the NWA Legends type shows, or are you just kind of getting out of shows altogether?
All the shows are great. I love the people. Like, total amount of respect for the amount of commitment. I'm looking around for axes in people's heads, and you know, SpongeBob's walking around talking. It's pretty cool. They really get into it. I don't think I'll make very many more. I don't think so. It's been fun while I've done it, though. You know?
So that'd be a lesson to you folks. If you see him coming to a con near you, you better get him quick.
Yeah, thank you. They're good people, like yourself. Good people.
So you won't be able to talk too much about They Live or Hell Comes to Frogtown or, as I mentioned to you, my very favorite show, Highlander, where you play the role of Anthony Galen, I believe, season 1 or season 2.
Oof. I think season two, maybe. And I was telling you, I backed up a roller coaster, fighting him with a, it's called a, sword's called a, just a second.
Claymore, is it?
Claymore, God bless you. And that's a two-handed sword you would have seen William Wallace use, and they wanted me to use it with one hand and back up a roller coaster. I end up cutting his finger off. But his coach, Bill Anderson, that was his coach name, was an Olympic fencing champion for England, said, told Adrian, he says, you pushed the wrong guy. You've had 8 months. He said 30 minutes. You just pushed the wrong guy, and well, he got me out of it.
You probably should have settled it in a squared circle after that point.
Yeah.
You know, he would have had maybe 30 minutes of training. You've had maybe, what, 25 years at that point?
Kind of. It's to say, very a good analogy. Very good. But with as far as these people go, they're beautiful. You know, they're beautiful folks.
I notice you've got a reunion of sorts with Keith David from They Live and Meg, the lovely Meg Foster of all. Was this kind of a planned reunion? It just kind of turned out that the three of you said you'd come here, and it was like, hey, let's do a reunion.
I didn't know that they were going to be here. There's only been two, I think, that's had the three of us. And every time we get together, we always have a moment that's very special. Shows that the casting was done right.
Excellent.
She's a beautiful lady. Keith David is one of my favorite guys of all time, and I'm real honored.
So besides the upcoming WrestleMania appearance, is there any place that you know you're going to be? Are you going to make any more shows on Raw or any other appearances in like the next few months?
I have a series coming out, 10 episodes in April. I got a movie that I'm going to do. And I did something with Steve Austin. I might do something with him.
Excellent.
Coming up, you know, yeah, kind of. I like creating new things that have never been done.
Is there like a website or social media where your fans can follow you doing that?
Yeah, my Twitter. This is the only thing I play with. Roddy_Piper, however you say that, and I play with you.
Excellent. So now's your chance to play with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Man.
Again, Mr. Piper, an absolute honor to meet a living legend.
Thank
here
you.
At Days of the Dead. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out.
Thanks, Drew.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The Hauntstrom medalist Jerry Vane, pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at jerryvane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.